Hour two of the show, we spent a large chunk of the first hour talking about E.J. Manuel, the Bills quarterback, and how good you feel about E.J. as he moves into his second season. We'll continue that discussion, and you can join in the discussion this hour as well. On the line with us is the senior analyst for ProFootballFocus.com. It's a football analytics site, and this month on ProFootballFocus.com, the month of June, quarterback month. In-depth, detailed analysis of all the quarterbacks who played in the NFL in the 2013 season. The man behind this project, a frequent guest on the show, a good friend of the show, Steve Palazzolo, senior analyst for Pro Football Focus. Steve, thanks for being on the air with us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Always enjoy coming on with you guys.
Quarterback month. What a great idea. Tell me how this came about.
Yeah, it was one of those things. June's kind of... I don't think there's any real dead period in the NFL, but if there is one, I guess June and into July would qualify. And it was one of those things where in the offseason we've got a little bit more time to dig into all the data that we have. So I've spent the last couple months just kind of trying to organize it and trying to come up with some useful charts and just some data that it just tries to separate the quarterbacks in every situation possible. So we decided, you know what, there's plenty of information there. We'll try to post about an article a day. Call it quarterback month, and I think what it gives is just a really good snapshot of each quarterback's strengths and weaknesses, different tendencies that their own team has, that they have individually, and I do think it's just a fascinating look at quarterbacks around the league.
Yeah, quarterback month continues at ProFootballFocus.com, and we're about halfway through the month, but without giving away any secrets, Steve, overall, were there any surprises, like big surprises, as you did this analysis of how the quarterbacks performed last year?
I wouldn't say that there were major surprises. But there was definitely a lot of interesting information. Guys like Andy Dalton was one of the most fascinating cases. He's a guy that, if you look at his splits, as polarizing as he is probably in Cincinnati and around the league, you know, his splits are just as polarizing. You know, he's a guy that if you put four-man pressure on him, for instance, he's actually one of the best in the league. But if you put blitz pressure against him, one of the worst in the league. So there's things like that where you see a guy just has a massive strength in one area, a massive weakness in another area, and it's just interesting to see those differences. But as far as, you know, a lot of the stuff is expected. Peyton Manning sitting there at the top of a lot of the lists, along with Drew Brees and Philip Rivers and some of the other top quarterbacks in the league. So not a ton of surprises, but you do really get to see the breakdowns of each quarterback's strengths and weaknesses.
I guess this is almost asking the same question in a different way, but do you find that most of these results, the analytics results, confirm what most people already believe about quarterbacks? For instance, you know, Eli Manning is a straight pocket passer, and Cam Newton can run around and make plays. Do the numbers and the analytics support what most people get from observation about these quarterbacks?
Yeah, in a lot of cases, yes, but there's one example. Ryan Tannehill is an interesting case where I think Dolphins fans have complained pretty loudly that he can't throw the deep ball and he hasn't been able to connect to Mike Wallace. But actually, when you look at our numbers, his raw numbers aren't great when it comes to passer rating and completion percentage on the deep passes, but his grades are actually pretty good. And the reason for the disconnect there is we grade the actual throw rather than the result. So there were a lot of situations this year where Tannehill threw some pretty good deep balls that were either dropped or just simply weren't completed for various reasons. And, you know, there's things like that where there's a perception about a quarterback where actually our grades differ a little bit from it and bring a little intelligence to the situation. I think Tony Romo is another great example, another guy who everybody always likes to say chokes in the fourth quarter, but he was one of our, I think it was in the top 10 amongst fourth quarter quarterbacks last season. So little things like that seem to buck the conventional wisdom. But again, for the most part, you'll see a lot of what your eyes tell you is pretty true.
I think that Romo part that you mentioned in the fourth quarter, that would surprise a lot of people, right? I mean, that's just almost conventional wisdom. Oh, Tony Romo, not a clutch performer. You're saying the numbers show that he is?
Yeah, we had him as one of the better graded quarterbacks in the fourth quarter. And of course, you know, I think there were a lot of games last year where, yes, there was a late game interception, but you know, one of them was to Cole Beasley, which was a miscommunication. It's tough to completely pin that on the quarterback. So there's a lot of things where, especially in the Twitter age, when people want to believe something, it's very easy for them to run with it. So everybody wants to believe that Romo's going to choke in the fourth quarter, but he was one of two quarterbacks to have at least 10 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. We graded him eighth in the league overall from a grade standpoint. He had 106.1 passer rating. So the conventional stats as well as our grades kind of back up that overall he was a pretty good fourth quarter performer, even though, yes, there were some bad passes in there.
Live on the line with Steve Palazzolo. He is senior analyst for ProFootballFocus.com. Quarterback month on ProFootballFocus.com this month as they look at all the quarterbacks in the NFL and sort of take a look inside the numbers from last season. Steve, we've had a discussion on this show. Obviously, we focus a lot on E.J. Manuel and his rookie year in the league. A lot of discussion a couple of months ago about what would constitute a good year for E.J. Manuel. I guess I maintain, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at it, but I came up with a quarterback rating metric. I thought if EJ can be a quarterback rating of 88 or better, the Bills would have a good chance of being a winning team. What do you think of that sort of analysis?
Well, yeah, I definitely think – I think you almost take any quarterback in the league except maybe your top echelon guys. If you say 88 is that threshold, I think that gives the team an excellent chance of winning, especially if the Bills can continue with what they've done defensively and what they did defensively last season. So I think 88 is a great number. I do think it's probably a little bit aggressive for Manuel, but I think if they got there, if he gets there, especially in his second season, yeah, that would be a huge positive for the Bills.
I guess I looked at it this way. Last year, I think it was in the AFC, five of the six playoff quarterbacks had quarterback rating of 88 or better.
Yeah, and ratings are really interesting. It's an interesting number, and you know, it's usually assigned to quarterbacks, and I think we all look at it as a quarterback stat. I think it's better used as an indicator of what the entire passing offense did, and that's why when you look at a lot of our charts, you'll see a guy that might have a 106 passer rating, but maybe a minus two grade for us, meaning you know he had a lot of poor throws, or he had a lot of easy throws, and maybe benefited from the offensive around him. So when you look at rating, I don't even necessarily pin that on the quarterback so much as I pin it on the entire passing offense. And when you look at some of the weapons that the Bills have and the addition of Sammy Watkins, they could go a long way into getting Manuel into taking that big next step.
But your grade, the PFF grade, is more accurate in judging the quarterback, you're saying. Tell me why that is, the quarterback as opposed to the entire passing offense.
Yeah, because when we're looking at the grade, we're trying to evaluate the quarterback's role in the play. So, you know, if the quarterback just throws a 3-yard dump off to the running back, say it's Spiller, and you know Spiller jukes four guys and takes it to the house for a 65-yard touchdown, the quarterback's going to have a 1-for-1, 65 yards. The touchdown, obviously, it's going to look fascinating on his passer rating. He's going to look great, but it's really nothing that he did. Whereas if Spiller gets tackled for 3 yards, obviously the rating doesn't change. I mean, the rating changes a ton, but the quarterback's role in that doesn't change at all. On the other hand, you throw a deep pass, hit a guy in stride 40 yards downfield, probably would have been a deep touchdown, but a guy drops it. We're definitely going to give that a huge positive grade, assuming it was thrown well and it was the receiver's fault that he dropped it. Whereas, again, the passer rating is going to be your 0-for-1, passer rating of 39.6, your generic 0-for-1 there. So we really feel that if you're trying to evaluate quarterback play, grade is the best way of doing it. And then rating, like I said, was a good way of saying, okay, this is how well the entire offense did on these particular passing plays. Because that takes into account having time to throw the ball so the offensive line's involved, and also having receivers that can do something with after the catch.
All right, here comes, I always ask you a question about process and methodology, but you didn't actually go back and look at all these quarterbacks again, did you? Did you not have like a database to work with from your work during the season itself?
Oh, no, we have a massive database, and that's where all this stuff's pulled out of. So,
right.
The real hard work that we do is in season, getting all these games graded and adding all this information into the database as the season goes along. But because we're doing so much of that, it's very tough to sit mid-season and kind of reflect on things, and that's
right.
Why we spend the off-season to really dig into it a little bit deeper. One thing I am doing, though, and within the database, one of my favorite things to do is look at all a quarterback's best throws and all of his worst throws and kind of determine, okay, what's this guy really good at? What's he not so good at? And again, just get a really good snapshot of what a guy can do. So the second half of quarterback month is going to be more individualized and more of a individual profiles on each of the quarterbacks, and you'll be able to see all of these numbers for each individual quarterback all in one place.
Quarterback month on ProFootballFocus.com, and senior analyst Steve Palazzolo is live on the line with us. Well, you mentioned time to throw. It turns out from what I've read of the time to throw metric you used, EJ Manuel does a pretty good job and being an effective quarterback without a lot of time to throw last year. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah, so one of the things about time to throw, I think when we originally started charting this in 2011, a lot of people used it and said, okay, the guys that have a long time to throw have a lot of time from their offensive line, rather than, you know, what we've actually found is the time to throw is really just determining how the quarterback plays, so how he plays the game and what the scheme's asking him to do. So you'll see guys like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, always at the top of the league as far as the quickest time to throw. And it's not because they're under pressure all the time. It's because they're quick decision makers, getting the ball out within the flow of the offense. And they're always in that 2.3, 2.4 range. They get the ball, catch it, and get rid of it. Then you see guys at the bottom of the range, guys like Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, even Andrew Luck in there a little bit, guys who average about 3-plus seconds per pass. And these are guys that, extend plays a little bit more, and sometimes they'll take deeper drops trying to get the ball down the field, but they're more of your scrambling-type quarterbacks. EJ kind of falls in the middle of those, and he was pretty successful from a rating standpoint on his quicker passes. If he gets the ball out in less than 2 seconds, his rating was 96.6. Now, his grade wasn't unbelievable for us, mostly because, it's a lot of easy throws, and there was a lot of yards after the catch from his receivers and things like that. But from a production standpoint for the Bills, that was probably his best way to go, getting that ball out within 2 seconds, which is, pretty quick release. And he did that right around the league average amount of time. And like I said, that was their most successful time to throw in the passing game.
Hope I'm not putting you on the spot, but when it comes to quarterback play against the pressure, against the blitz, can you tell us how E.J. Manuel fared in that metric, Steve?
Yeah, definitely. One of the most fascinating things when you think about rookie quarterbacks, everybody says, well, they're going to be facing a lot of different looks and defensive coordinators are going to send the house at them. Well, E.J. Manuel was blitzed the second fewest times of any quarterback in the league last year, right behind Peyton Manning. So I think it's pretty well understood around the league that teams are afraid to blitz Peyton Manning because he always makes the right decision and he always finds the open man. And once you take somebody out of coverage, you're playing with fire against Peyton. But I thought it was very interesting that Manuel only faced the blitz 24% of the time, which was, like I said, second fewest in the league. So it was one of those things where either teams felt that they had the ability to sit back on him a little bit and make him make mistakes, that just wasn't what the strategy called for. But he was okay against the blitz, rating of 85.3. So results-wise, it worked out pretty well, minus 4.4 in our grading system, so a little bit below average. Against pressure, he was a little bit worse, and the difference between a blitz and pressure, when we define pressure, that's when the defense actually puts pressure on the quarterback, whether it does come from the blitz or whether it does come from a four-man rush. Against pressure, he was actually pretty typical of an NFL quarterback. NFL QB rating on when they're pressured is about 65, which is just fascinating to think about how much pressure affects the passing game.
Yeah.
His rating was 60.6 with a minus 10.7 grade. So definitely below average versus pressure. But again, that's a little bit, that's pretty much the standard around the league.
I hope you have this information somewhere close in hand. And if you don't, I understand, Steve. But is there anything about E.J. Manuel's game that you think stands out in a negative sense? And again, we're talking about the 2013 season. But what metric did he really kind of lag behind the rest of the NFL's quarterbacks in last year?
Yeah, I have his entire breakdown in front of me, so I'll try to sort through it. The things that I pointed out as weaknesses, he does have a bit of a reputation as a guy that can scramble, get out of the pocket. He's pretty athletic. He was actually really poor in that area last year. So when he scrambled or got out of the pocket, he was one of our worst graded quarterbacks when the play broke down. And he was, this is just passes on the run. This doesn't include scrambles where he actually ran the ball, but on scrambles where he tried to pass the ball, he actually had a rating of 14.6 and a minus 7.2 grade on those situations. There weren't a lot of them, but he was 5-for-15 passing in those situations with an interception. So it's one of those things that was kind of bucks a little bit of conventional wisdom for him.
Yeah.
The other thing that he was a little poor at from a route standpoint, and this will be breaking down later in the week, we broke down how well each quarterback throws each individual route, and he was pretty poor on go routes. He completed only 9 out of his 38 attempts on them. He did get 5 touchdowns on them, got his rating up to 84.3, but from a grade standpoint, minus 7.7, which was one of the lowest in the league. And I think the first Jets game comes to mind where the Jets pressed the line and just dared him to throw deep, and he had a lot of trouble giving his receivers a chance to make a play on the ball and go routes.
How about on the other side of the coin? How about which metrics were to EJ's advantage? What did he do well based on the analysis that you've done?
Well, from a route standpoint, he was actually really good on post routes, particularly working off of play action. When they used play action and he threw the post, he actually was he was only 2 for 6, but there were 3 drops in there. So that's a situation where the rating might not back up the actual grade. I think his rating was only 69.4. Uh-huh. We had him with a positive grade because he did throw the ball accurately down the field on those post routes and just had 3 drops on in those situations. So that was one positive for him. He was pretty good in the short passing game as well. In the 1 to 10 yard range was probably his. And I know it sounds like, he just throws the ball short. But when we're grading these 1 to 10 yard passes, we're looking at ball location and the ability to move the chains. And he was actually pretty good in the shorter range compared to some of the deeper ranges. So I'd say those were two of the things that stood out as positives for Manuel in his first season.
Hey, Steve, as far as the Pro Football Focus quarterback month, what's left to come? What are some of the most interesting aspects you're going to be looking at moving forward?
Well, the rest of this week we're going to have league-wide breakdowns. Like I said, we'll do each route individually, so you'll be able to see, again, who the best quarterbacks are on goes, posts, slants, outs, the whole thing. We're going to break down how well each quarterback throws against base package versus nickel versus dime, so how many defensive backs they're facing. There's also going to be a section that just breaks down QB tendencies, and it's not so much how well they did, but what they did. So things like how often Manuel was blitzed, you'll be able to see how that stacks up against the rest of the league and in a number of different situations. And then, like I said earlier, the second half of the month is going to be all individual. So all these numbers that I have on Manuel right now, you'll be able to get that in a couple neat pictures that just kind of sort his entire game in just 3 or 4 different pictures, all these different situations. So that's pretty much what we got planned for the rest of the month.
I look forward to that. And you'll have every quarterback in the league kind of broken down, their whole game based on all of these different measurements, huh?
Yeah, we're even throwing Thaddeus Lewis in there just to have a comparison on. I think it's not so much going to be an EJ Manuel article. It'll be Manuel and Lewis together. You can compare and contrast how both of them did. You get a really good snapshot of the entire Bills offense for 2013.
I look forward to reading that, Steve. As always, we thank you for your time tonight. It's great work, and we'll keep watching and seeing what you guys come up with. Thanks very much for doing this tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John. I always appreciate it.
Steve Palazzolo is senior analyst for ProFootballFocus.com. Quarterback month, as we've said, he's got measurements up there for things like down and distance, time to throw. EJ looks pretty good in that regard. But then he said the second half of the month, he'll have the quarterbacks broken down individually, so you can look at them at each quarterback through all of these metrics. So instead of saying to yourself, I think EJ Manuel does this well, or I think Ryan Tannehill is not very good at this, you look at the analytics. You look at the numbers. It'll tell you exactly what they do. These guys do a great job. ProFootballFocus.com. You can subscribe to an upper level of analytics if you want, or you can just look at the website and take what they give you for free. ProFootballFocus.com. And Steve Palazzolo is the senior analyst, a team of great analysts that work on that website. We thank him for joining us tonight.